God blessed Noah and his sons. May God give me grace to speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The one Old Testament story that children are still quite likely to have heard these days is probably about Noah and the flood. I wonder how many Noah's arks are stored away in toy cupboards in Harrow. I suspect quite a good number. It's a great story. It takes up 100 verses of the book of Genesis. We've just heard some of them this morning. If you've forgotten that story or you've never heard of it, it goes like this. God is fed up with the world he created so faithfully. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But soon it felt to God like a terrible mistake. The human race had gone off the rails, and God plans to wipe us out and to start all over again. Everything is going to be destroyed, except for one good man, Noah and his family. Noah, at this point, is 600 years old. A great flood is coming, and Noah has got to build an ark that will protect him, his family, one pair of every creature on the earth, and one example of every plant. The dimensions of the ark are given. It's 450 foot long, and it will weigh several thousand tons. Quite a lot of work for a man of 600 years of age. The earth is flooded by torrential rain, so heavy that the water level rises above the tops of the highest mountains. That's several thousand years of normal rainfall in just 40 days. The rain stops, and after 5 months, the water level begins to drop, and the ark comes to rest on the slopes of Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey. Another 5 months, and Noah sends out a dove to discover whether it's safe to get out. It's not. But after another week, he sends the dove out again, and the dove returns with a leaf in its mouth, proof of dry ground. They get out. Life on earth starts again. There is a new beginning. God has definitely changed his mind again. He makes a pact with humanity, a covenant. He promises that such a disaster will never, ever happen again. If we keep to the strict rules, the human race will flourish, and the rainbow, the beautiful rainbow, will be the guarantee of that permanent promise. The story goes on to end in a very odd way. Noah cultivates the first vineyard, gets drunk on the wine it produces, and gets into a very embarrassing situation, which probably has sexual overtones. He's rescued by his sons, but then forces his grandson into slavery. It's the first mention of slavery in the Bible. Noah lives on for another 350 years and dies aged 950. Amazing story. Until the arrival of modern science and discoveries from the ancient world, all Christians believe that this story was literally true. Some still do. There are groups of Christians who still comb Mount Ararat to find remains of the ark. No luck so far. What has been discovered is that while the Israelites were in exile in Babylon, about 500 years before the birth of Jesus, They came into contact with a great story, the Epic of Gilgamesh, a story of terrible flooding, disaster, and rescue in an ark. It had emerged from their own experience of frequent flooding whenever the nearby great rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris, overflowed and caused disaster. Most scholars are now convinced that those Jews in Babylon, facing their own exile disaster, longing to return, borrowed this story and took it to quite a different level, making it one of the greatest stories ever, bursting with truth about God and the human race, and in an amazing way, God's relation with us. One day it would lead to Jesus. The vivid narrative of this story is full of exaggeration, but it's the start and the finish here that matter. In Genesis 1, the story of creation, God creates from nothing. In this story, and it's an effectively creation story number 2, God realizes that in giving us the gift of free will, God took a terrible risk. We so often fail. Look at the world today, the terrible suffering in Ukraine, in Iran, small children here in Britain suffering at the hands of violent adults, rising violence against those of other faiths, especially Muslims and Jews. I very much hope that this morning we'll be praying for members of the Kenton Synagogue, making a point to speaking to our Jewish friends and neighbours. Think how we would feel this morning if a petrol bomb had been thrown not at Kenton Synagogue, but here at St Andrews, and the Lord God was sorry that he had made on the face of the earth humankind, and it grieved him to his heart. I have made a terrible mistake, said God. These words, 2,500 years old, full of amazing insight into our human condition. But it's only the start of the story. There's one good man. God decides to bet on him, a fresh start for the whole human race and the whole of creation. The ark is built, the flood comes, total destruction everywhere. Those in the ark survive. God has entered into a new agreement, the covenant with Noah, and it's with the whole of the human race, with us. The rainbow, whenever I see it on a rainy day, reminds me of that hope and that promise. The story ends very oddly. Noah makes a terrible mistake, more likely does something worse, but nothing changes. The promise holds. The story moves on quickly to the Tower of Babel, to the story of Abraham and his call and response, his failure, God's continuing faithfulness to him, to his son Isaac, his son Jacob, his son Joseph, and so on to Jesus himself. Forget for a moment this morning the details of this story. It's one of the most wonderful parables ever told. God knows our weakness and he loves us and rescues us, even though we keep on failing him. Think of Noah at the end of that story, age 600, a sexual scandal. That bit does not appear by chance. It's full of insight into the human condition. We keep on failing. And God's response, God's never failing response, is to forgive and to renew. All the stories, all the history of one people in the New Old Testament point to and lead us to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as we heard this morning, leading and protecting his flock, leading and protecting us. We keep on failing. He keeps on loving us. And that endless love points towards the manger, the cross, and Easter. Perhaps the story of Noah is not so much a parable, but an amazing piece of prophecy. It is inspired scripture. It's the word of God in the Old Testament for us today. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Father God, we pray with open hearts and minds that our spoken and unspoken prayers are heard by you, that our joy is celebrated by you, and our sorrows are held by you. We are here together, each on our own journey, each knowing and seeking you in our way, each of us reaching out to you in prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the quiet and still of a garden, watching as the world outside is transformed by light, warmth, and water, we pray that we may look after everything that has been gifted to us. May we treasure and protect everything from the seedlings of vegetable plants to the shade under ancient trees. May we choose carefully the things that we buy, the things that we eat, the clothes that we buy to wear, the fuel that we use to move around and to heat our homes. We pray for those in the world who bear the impact of the decisions that we make. We pray for governments and business leaders to consider the earth before profit. We pray for the creatures of the world and say sorry for the pain that we cause them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the hustle and busyness of the daily commute, we pray for those on journeys, all of us, those who lead us, those who counsel us, those who facilitate us, for drivers and guards, for the emergency services, for maintenance staff and engineers, for street cleaners and street pastors, we pray. In the business of it all, we pray for those who feel alone, lost in the crowd, with no direction of someone to greet them at their destination. Help us to feel a part of where we are. Help us to feel that we belong. Lord, we pray for those who are moving, for those for whom home is not a settled place and that everything may suddenly become new again. We pray for those this morning who are having new beginnings and for Shirley, who will be moving to Coventry. We pray for her today. We pray that we may value the roles that everybody plays in our community and may we feel impelled to recognise and give thanks to them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the hum and beeps of machines on a hospital ward, and in the peace at the bedside of someone who is loved, we pray for your presence. We give thanks for the service of nurses, midwives, pharmacists, doctors, porters, cleaners, volunteers, visitors, for all who dedicate their lives to the service of others, we pray. We pray for patients everywhere, for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual ills. We pray for the easing of pain, for the dignity in the end-of-life care, and for the comfort of those who have lost or know they are losing someone dear. This week we remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Peter Godwin, Eliza Haig, Peter Dowes, Ethel Williams, Philip Robinson, and Evelyn Roderick. We pray for a world that is unequal. We pray that one day everyone will have access to the medical care that they need without worrying about a lack of medicine, the cost of healthcare, or the impact of war. We will all know people who need your prayers for healing today, and so we hold them in our hearts right now, and we know that you hear those names. We also pray today for Elizabeth Bellow, Sue Broach, Daryl Campbell, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Pam Story, Martin Vowles, Clive Williams, Callum Williams, Angela Zadurian, and Sheila. We bring them all to you this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the frenetic activity of a rescue of frightened, cold, desperate people from a failing small boat, we pray for calm and respect. We pray for anyone who, through sheer desperation, sacrifices everything to seek safety. We pray that we may be humbled by the peril that our sisters and brothers find themselves in. Teach us not to be hostile, not to judge, not to make assumptions. Instead, help us to care, to show compassion, and to give thanks for those on the front line who are the first responders. Help us to choose love, not hate, just to love as you would and do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bring to you ourselves. We ask that you protect us and nurture us, to feed us and to enable us in whatever we may do to serve you. We pray that we might recognize our own gifts and talents and be generous in sharing them. We offer you our joys and our sadnesses, our triumphs and our worries. We pray that you will give us the wisdom to act as you would, the gentleness to walk alongside each other in community, the courage to stand up to injustice, and the energy to serve you each day. Be our eyes to see the needs of others. Be our ears to stop and to listen. Be our hands to act and do. And be our voices to encourage and to bless. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.